This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to the first live-streamed episode of High and Mighty, live from HeadGum Studios in a hip neighborhood in Los Angeles, chock full of beautiful people in this room and outside of it. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 299 pounds. That's right, he saunaed today and didn't drink any water, pissed the giant bloody crystal in the HeadGum bathroom, and then was succinctly locked inside of it right after that. We'll get into that more later. From the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's John Gabris. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine. Oh, Jackson Maine is here. Abortion is healthcare. Thank you, sir. That is not, that doesn't need to be updated. You, the character, needs to be updated, but abortion is still healthcare. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, not my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabers. He does not travel well. That little Goomba is back at my house. But joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, a collection of HeadGum hunks and hunkettes. We got Casey, Anya, and Emma, and also some funny fucking guests. From the last improv show, it's Dan Black.
Yeah,
and from the Doughboys, fellow HeadGummer, and how did this get played, or whatever it's called, get played, it's Nick Weiger.
Hey, buddy.
Okay, and then so I know it's live stream, but let's just pause it, and I can catch my breath, and then
sure,
we'll come back.
Right. I don't think that's how this works.
No?
I think you're live.
Am I still on camera? Okay.
The comments are seeing this.
Here's the thing I want to talk about. Sit the fuck down, Anya. Nervously creeping in on the edge, first minute one, like my mom watching me dance at fucking Toddlers and Tiaras, getting fired. Listen, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately. Hey, cool. And a lot of people are talking about this, but I want to get in on this. Everything sucks now. Not like in a whole global political sense. That's also true. But, like, doing things is harder than ever before. Like, calling anyone to get help, they are using the fucking, they are Googling while you talk to them. Then you go to decide to Google, and Google doesn't work anymore because, and this is where it all stems from. I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Hell yeah.
And when I get stuck on something, I want to search how to, I'm like, wait, what the fuck? How do I fight this guy? And there are 25 AI articles written that are like, when playing Baldur's Gate 3, remember to use your mouse and click. And it's just like such, it's spam. It's fucking like gobbledygook that's there. The internet is full of that. You can't get help on anything. Like everything keeps, everyone is like, I think Ed Zichon calls it the rot economy. Like everyone is making money off of hollowing out everything. Back in the day, you would like make a blender as a company, and it'd be like, we're trying to make really good blenders that people could have for years. Now, if a blender company were to come about, it would be like a monthly subscription to deliverable blender parts that show up at your house, and it's poor and it's shitty, and it's made to be like fucked up, and you're made to buy more because there's not continual growth in making a good product.
No.
We wanted to disrupt blenders. Yeah. That's why we got venture capital and made Blender.
We're so tired of smoothies being smooth. That's why we thought outside the box and made a blender that blunts.
You ever try to like look up a recipe? This is one of my fucking peeves.
Dude.
Has there ever been a fucking... Can we curse on this?
Yeah.
Because I'm worked up.
Yeah, please. Stay worked up.
Has there ever been a recipe that's at the top of the page that you click on?
No.
It's like, you want to find, like, let's say the recipe, and this is my main recipe I look up, is chicken parmesan. Okay. I forget how to
make it every time. I think people can tell by your accent that this is something you're looking up constantly.
All right. Everything is, here's my recipe for chicken parmesan. Then it's a picture of a hot chick in her kitchen with, you know.
And then when you click on the link, there's like 27 pop-up ads that like to click through to X out to then realize it's a like summary of a different company's recipe for chicken parm, and it's someone and you can't just say, like, you used to be able to be like chicken parm and then choose from like five sites. You're like, ooh, Bon Appetit, ooh, this. But even websites are dead now. The website
is a dead concept.
No, it's like, oh, I used to go to this website. I used to hang out on this website. I used to read this. This is how old I am. I used to hang out on moviequotes.com. Hang out on means...
Yeah, hang out on.
Hang out on it just means pressing play on different WAV files.
Right.
And the password was Rollo Tomasi, the made-up guy from LA Confidential. And I was so honored to be on the... And now if you were like, I want to look up movie quotes... My brother searches for everything. He's young. He's like 10 years younger than me. He searches for everything on YouTube, and it makes more sense.
Yeah, totally.
Like searching on Google is just garbage now, and they're okay with it because they're making fucking money hand over fist for all these fake fucking sites that exist.
But even YouTube has its own issues, which is like if you're looking for, hey, I'm looking for one specific bit of information, it's the same principle. It's just buried in the middle of a 3-minute video or longer. It's like the ideal length for the algorithm, you know, and also, like, just like it's another thing that's blanketed with ads. I pay for the YouTube premium where it's just like, because I'm just like fucking whatever.
So wealthy. He's always doing this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I pay for every premium thing. If I can remove ads, I just do it.
Yes.
But then still they find a way to integrate the ads into it now. That's a big part of it. I mean, that's what we fucking do on our podcast now. Now we read ads baked into the video.
I was just talking about this last night about the Barbie movie. The Barbie movie is a giant ad for Barbie. And then in the middle of it, they get into like Chevys and there's like close ups of like the stick shifting and shit. Right. And it's all like, this car drives very well, Barbie, you know, and it's all like, and now it's a Chevy commercial. But if you watch that on Freevee or on cable or on Hulu without, you're watching that, a movie that is a giant commercial that features integrated commercials. And then it pauses to have ads in the middle of it.
Yes.
How the fuck? And then they'll cry broke when we say, like, hey, we need health insurance. Like, they're like, sorry, dude. The fucking in Avengers, Tony Stark at one moment drives an Audi up to the Avengers Tower. Why would you ever drive if you were Iron Man? Like, why the fuck? Yeah. And it's like, because Audi paid $1 million for this. I'm like, how much money does Marvel need that they need to sell off fucking sponsorships in the middle of the movie? Tony Stark thinks he's going to get out of his suit that flies around the globe easily and into outer space. He's going to be like, let me get out. Sometimes I like to just sit and drive, you know? It's fucking bullshit.
You were talking about blenders earlier, and that reminded me of just how shitty appliances are now.
Dude.
Like, I got this fucking... We rent our apartment, and we have, like, one of those microwaves that's built in. And the handle, like, broke off, like, a while back. Like, it's one of those ones where it's like load-bearing plastic to open it. It's a pull handle.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just dangling there, and I'm trying to look up how to fix it. Same thing. I'm looking up YouTube videos, and they're just like, yeah, you can't fix it. These things are fucking cheap, and they're designed to be replaced, and they don't sell replacement parts.
If you call the
replace
company,
the whole unit.
You can't replace the door. If you call the company, they give you a fucking runaround of, like, have you tried? And you're like, yes, of course I tried. My mom's microwave has not had a handle on it for, like, 5 years. And you have to, like, wedge your fingers in and pop it open every time. And they benefit from it being shitty, and then even the people you call, I'm not going to get into like
call centers or whatever, but you call people and they can't even help you. And you're like, but I need help. And it's like, we save money by not even having someone that answers the fucking phone.
I used to work in a call center, and the whole point was to just let's like, I'm sorry, you got to pay for all these premium subscriptions.
Also, you know what I mean? Like, well, fine, I haven't worked in a call center.
Have you ever worked in a call center?
Yeah, of course.
Wait, did you?
It's a good day job.
Yeah, of course, of course. I just wanted
to self-tape.
I just wanted to be a shitbag to Wagger, but no, yeah. Of course. Sorry.
No. I mean, like my experience was you exist there. We weren't even employed by the company. This is when I was working in video games. I was working for Activision, but we were employed by a staffing company, so that like we're like an arm's length removed from the company itself, and then we just exist as meat shields to keep people are mad about the company and they just want to yell at somebody. And that's your job, is just to absorb that verbal abuse and tell them we can't fix your problem.
Well, the crazy thing is, yeah, you're talking about like call centers, right? Yeah. And I know Gabriel said we're not going to get into call centers. Okay?
Too late. Let's go.
It's too controversial.
But Dan's got a lot to say.
We can talk about Barbie, though. We can criticize Barbie, but not controversial.
I didn't criticize Barbie. Yes, you did. Greta Gerwig. I promise you, everyone did a great job.
Okay. Now, all right. So call center. All right. This happened to me yesterday. I called Spectrum, which is my internet provider. Yeah. Okay. Did I just get a wolf?
They're my internet provider. I have two different internet providers in my house. How fucking crazy is that? In my apartment, it's 900 square feet.
Wait, you have two what?
Yeah, because the one doesn't like come into my office, so wow. I have to get a fucking second. It's a 900 square foot apartment. I pay for AT&T and Spectrum.
That's wild.
Well, so I'm saying I call up and I was like, I literally just called them to my price was high, whatever. And I called them. I was like, hey, can you make it lower? We negotiate a price because essentially they just make up the price, right? First off, I didn't have the equipment for the level of speed I had. They noticed that. So I've been paying for whatever. Okay. But the point is I agree on the price. Then I get an email. It's a totally different price. So then I call up today and it's a totally different woman who has none of the skills of the last woman. I hear her dogs barking in the background.
And also you have to like re-update them on everything. They're like, well, have you tried calling Spectre? You're like,
right.
Yes. The woman I spoke to 1 hour ago that I got, dude, how deep have you gotten on like trying to get help? And then you get disconnected.
Yeah.
And then you're like, all right, let me call back. And you call back and they're like, wait time is another. And you're like, motherfucker. Yeah. You need like an assistant who just does that shit for you. Like, so you stop getting
totally.
You know, like every time you get fucked over, you're like, well, just reach out to the company. And
I spent like 3 hours to save $7 a month. Right. And I'm not sure that was worth my time. You know what I mean? But once you're an hour deep, it's like Scientology. I'm like, I'm already OT3. You know what I mean? I might as well fucking start trying to blow fucking.
And that's
Tom
the call
Cruise.
Center you've been working at, right?
Yeah. Yes, I'm working at the Scientology call center.
You're just fielding calls like, no, we don't know where Shelly Miscavige
exactly.
is. All of a sudden, the Twitch stream just goes down, and Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning starts playing.
I've been reading a book about communication, and it was talking about how in call centers they have like fucking now they have basically like a bouncing ball sort of like a karaoke version just to make sure that your cadence is then the most common rhythm, like calming rhythm as you're doing the script. And I'm like, and I'm sure that's AI assisted. And then at a certain point, they're just going to remove the human element entirely.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's all a psychological trick to just like, how do we soothe the angry customer while actually not giving them any real support?
Yeah.
It used to be like, you can order a pizza and give a kid $30, get your pizza, they get cash, they have a good job. Now, to like order food, I have to pay like $175 to have two pizzas delivered to my house cold by what the picture is a woman who looks like a porn star, and the guy who shows up is like a 70-year-old guy in sweatpants. And I'm like, why is all of this? Like, do you get bigger tips if you're hot? And I think the answer is yes.
I think it all started with the sink. Okay, you know, the sink used to have two handles. I hate to be this guy. Okay,
true.
Sinks used to have two handles.
Okay, and they worked great. Okay, I think
hot
it's,
and cold was the two.
It was hot and cold. Those were the two.
Yeah.
And you could also adjust. You could use a little hot and a little cold. And still at home, you could do this. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. And but now if you go to a sink, they're all automatic. I don't know how to adjust the temperature. I don't know how to get enough water to get the soap off of my hands. The soap's automatic. I can't get the soap there either.
Bro, what about it? Like, this is specifically at JFK, but what about there's now hand dryers underneath by the sink?
Oh, yeah.
So I put the soap on, and then I think it's a sink, so I go under, and it blows the soap everywhere all over me.
Yeah.
I'm like suds in my face, and everyone's like, what's this asshole doing here?
So the other day, I was at a children's science museum with my nephew. with my nephew. And
yeah, me and Weiger saw you there. I mean, we were 200 yards away.
You were legally illegal distance, but I went into the restroom, right? And this is $50 a ticket to get into this museum, right? And when you get to the urinal, okay, I mean, there's piss all over the floor. I mean, it was crazy, right? And it's because you look at the designs of the urinal now, you're like, there's no water in it. Right? It's on like a weird angle.
They're like, we could save money if there's piss on the ground. It's like, well, then we should hire a janitor. And it's like, no, trust me, the piss will just become part of the fucking community eventually. It's intensely frustrating because there's no way out of it. What we need to get us out of it is for companies, corporations, these rich people who run them, they need to choose to maybe go down 3 cents a stock, 3 cents a unit, and pay everyone. And that's the other thing, is like anyone you interact with is being underpaid. And you're like at Sweetgreens and you're like, hey, this is completely wrong. And then they're like, sorry, but my life is shit too.
Oh my God.
And you're like, yeah, you're right, man.
Sorry to interrupt you one more time, but I was at Sweetgreens.
No, I invited you on the podcast.
You knew what this was.
This is all karma.
But I was at Sweetgreens yesterday. It's so funny. And I was in there and there was two employees, right? They're telling a story to each other. And I'm the only person in line, and I have a pre-order right from the app pickup. I see my name printed on the salad, and all they got to do is hand it to me. They're just like finishing up their story. And it used to be like back in the day, my mom would just be like, what are these employees doing? Can you believe this? And now my brain is just like, they're not paid enough. These people are not paid enough.
Why
money
would anyone
to care
give
about
a shit?
Me.
Exactly.
And then like, why would they give a shit? And also, no company has like long-term employees because there's no loyalty
anymore.
There's
no integrity.
Because the loyalty needs to go both ways. You need to feel like your company has your, like the pride my father had for like, I mean, he was a union guy, so he had pride for his union. That's a little easier it's a little easier to have pride for your union than it is for a corporation.
They're doing woo and woofs over there.
I know. There's two Pinkertons standing off camera. I think their names are El Scorcho and Pink Butterfly.
Scorcho.
But like us, we're hoping in order to turn the corner on this, like a company needs to launch that's like, we have an idea for a product and all we care about is making like a little bit of money, but making you happy and you liking our product.
And that's why I want to return to Baldur's Gate 3.
Thank you.
Which is a game made by a company, Larian Studios. They are not publicly traded. They are self-funded. They made a game purely for passion. It does not have branded integrations, does not have paid DLC. It exists to be a fucking video game and everyone loves it.
It's
so you know what?
It's the best game of the year, potentially the decade.
It's my favorite game of all time, and it came from a total rejection of the existing corporate ethos that governs the entire globe. They were just like, we're going to make something for the love of making something, and they fucking did it, and it excelled.
And they made a great fucking, and then they're not going to go to us like, rush Baldur's Gate 4 to come out next year.
They are giving free content updates repeatedly.
Wow.
It's fucking,
I play Magic the Gathering that has Baldur's Gate cards.
Yeah,
but I've never played Baldur's Gate.
Oh, I think you might like it. It's the most accurate representation of Dungeons & Dragons ever put onto video games.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. We can move on from that rant. But that's just something that's been driving me crazy. And then podcaster, former guest of Doughboys, Ed Zitron, who I'm a fan of, has been making the rounds, launching his new podcast, and he's been shitting on the idea of the rod economy as well. So it's gotten me fucking activated.
Right,
the
rod economy. Yeah. I love that.
I love that expression. I don't know if he coined it or not, but I'm fucking... It's like...
The gig economy and then the rod economy?
Dude, and everything ends up benefiting like... only 9 people at the top.
It's
like
true.
It's like every single choice that's made, only like even like the people who are just below the top, like they're being fucked over by the people at the top, but they get to fuck over the people below. It's the entire thing is a fucking pyramid scheme. Society has become a pyramid scheme. Every every single industry has become like slumlords. Like right. landlord, like everything has become like gouge me on rent, do nothing to help me, never interact with me, never be around, bitch when my check is one day late, do not ever fix my fucking stove, no hot water, toilets running, like all the shit that happens in an apartment where your shit ass landlord doesn't fucking help you at all. That has extrapolated out because someone's, turns out being a landlord, one of the most lucrative fucking jobs in America.
Right.
And so everyone's just like, fuck it, let's just take that mentality to everything. Let's fucking add shredded newspaper to the food and then we can charge more for it somehow.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it used to be I felt like the hack of life, which no one follows, is become something like a teacher or a nurse, something that's just got that pension book. Like,
right?
You put 25 years in, which means you're pretty fucking young. You know what I mean? And then, because if someone told me when I was young, they were like, the rich old people are the teachers, like right? the public teachers and stuff. But now I think the issue is you can't even live like a normal life as a public school teacher. Like, you don't make enough money
if
you
were kids. Two public school teachers
right.
married to each other and you'd both taught in Los Angeles. You would have to live an hour and 15 minutes away
right.
to, like, own a home. Right. And that's fucked up. Like,
or drive for Uber. Like, because that's the other thing. Like, I got, like, and what I try not to, try to avoid ride share, but sometimes it's just, like, as someone who mostly takes public transit and where most of the country is, or most of the country, but most of the city specifically in LA is not well served by public transit, unfortunately. There are times when I'm just like, this will literally save me an hour
right.
to take ride share. And I my mom was a nurse. And
same.
Yeah, exactly. I know both our moms were nurses. And you didn't used
My
to have
dad
the.
Was a nurse.
Was there
he?
You go.
No.
Oh. I was like, I thought he was a CPA no. or
he I was like, you know what? This is a dated joke, but I like it. This is not with the times, but neither is part of this conversation.
That was her job. And I got an Uber ride home the last couple weeks ago, and my Uber driver was a nurse. It's like, so you're going, you have a job at a hospital being a nurse, but to pay your bills, you are also working for a rideshare company. That's your side hustle by necessity. You're a fucking yeah. nurse.
And
this
would
is
you
insane.
Be so excited for, like, while you're getting, someone's looking for your vein to give you an IV, they
exactly.
yawn because they're like, sorry, I had to drive for 7 hours
right,
after
right, right.
my 12 hours on my feet because I need to be able to pay my fucking rent to live in the city I work in.
Right. Well, everyone is fucking exhausted.
Right.
You know?
We're all exhausted. Everyone's cranky. We're all underpaid and we're being pitted against each other. Meanwhile, there are people now I just sound like fucking crazy, but there are people at the top who are fucking buying, swaths of fucking land and property
That's
and doing
right.
whatever the fuck they want.
Pelosi.
Pelosi with those big ass
Here we
titties.
Go. Here we go.
Well, someone fucking hit that bitch's husband with a hammer. Do not do it, you fucking freak listener.
I do that.
I can't trust you. You guys could be Doughboys listeners, and that means you might be down for something that
the
fucked
thing
up.
That, we already said this point, but the thing that really kills me is just, I did feel like when I grew up, you know, in the 90s, that American dream felt like still alive where it's like, yo, you know, listen, you just have a job. You'll be able to have a house. You'll be able to like live maybe like a moderate existence just by working 40 hours.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Just by working hard, you should be able to have the following six things: food, a house, water, and a car. Like I watched my parents do it, you know, like
yeah.
we moved when my mom got a job, when she went from a dental hygienist, went to nursing school and became yeah. a nurse. Like once she did these jumps,
right.
like we were able to live a better life. Now I make good money. I fucking live yeah. in a 900 square foot apartment.
Dude, I literally today, it's funny you say that because I was like doing my budget today. Okay? Like, and I was like, oh, like this is bullshit. Like if you look at the I'm not even complaining, whatever, but if you look at the actual numbers of like what you're paying, it's crazy. It's
I'm making
no
like
way
double what my mom made.
Yeah,
and
I
can't fucking do anything in life. And now I'm going to just get into Hollywood elite for one second. They're fucking babies. No,
yeah.
But even like using writer's rooms or being cast in a show even that has shrunk down so much
yeah.
that if you're in a writer's room for a job, it's like a 10-week job. Everyone in that room is concerned about their next job and not as concerned with the current gig they have.
Yeah.
Because there's no real loyalty. And also, we learned this in the pandemic, during the strikes. because the industry is so fucked, every writer and actor has like 12 side hustles. And they all, like, we're all podcasters. We're all like, no, I don't even make enough money from Hollywood. Like you can't threaten me with not hiring me, because if I lived off just my acting money, right, I would be fucking broke. I wouldn't even have acting money. Yeah.
I mean, how many, but we know, like, I was thinking about my friends, and I have friends who are, we have a lot of friends who are success, like, who are working actors, right? The industry has chosen them. They're like, we like what you do. But then I was counting the, I not their money. I was hacked at all their bank accounts and my side job. And I was, no, but I was like, I only have one friend who has a true, like, steady acting job. And, oh, actually two friends who have like a network acting job where probably they have like, yeah, they work X amount of time. There's, yeah, they're, you know, where they're not like sweating bullets about like what's going to happen 7 months out of the year.
The only, you know, people who are like comfortable are late night writers, because they get like, right, a 40 week, and no one's watching.
And people, on, if you're on, right, a sitcom, if you happen to be on a network television show,
right,
and you'll get still like 26, 23 episodes a year.
That's
it's
it.
So
and there's
rare,
like three of those.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah, it's fucking bananas.
The chat is asking why they are 10 week jobs. I mean, it's usually it's the minimum is a 13 week job, but they, it's because that's what's been negotiated and they want to limit labor expenses. So, they're trying to get the term of employment as short as possible. That's
and also that's back in the day, you were making more episodes, yeah, so you could justify having people around longer. Now comedies are coming out that are 8 episodes long or whatever.
Right, that's
so they
the
don't need
thing.
A writer's room for 20 weeks.
Yeah.
They don't get a writer. Everyone can use more time writing scripts. Trust me, I've been watching television.
Yes, it's all about cost control. So that's one of the reasons. One of the things they were trying to negotiate in the last one was not just have a minimum term of employment, but a minimum number of writers for a show, because that was another way people were being squeezed and there are fewer opportunities. And you know, so all of a sudden, the last thing I worked on before quarantine, it was 3 writers. And you know, like the first job I worked on, I think was 12 writers. So,
yeah,
you know, like over the course of a decade of employment, you just see the number of jobs getting fewer and fewer. I mean, it's part of why podcasting is my main thing now. It's,
right,
it's easier, it's more lucrative, and it's more consistent.
And there's less middlemen besides the,
yeah,
fucking,
exactly, yeah,
besides Marty and Amir and Jake,
yeah,
coming up the, yeah, fucking word. I think you need more guests. More guests, Marty. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Got fucking 4 seats in the fucking room. We
That's
can't add any more people.
Marty.
Classic Marty. let's downshift a little. Let's get our blood pressure back.
My grandfather's name, Marty.
Was it? Of,
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Marty Black?
Marty Black.
Oh, that's a good name.
He was
name.
The owner of Nelson's Deli, which we talked about.
Wait,
the
right?
Doughboys.
Why was it called Nelson's?
Because he married a woman with the last name Nelson.
And the deli was in her
But don't worry, he came back from World War II, and we talk about his German girlfriend in front of my grandma.
My pop-up fought in World War II, too. And the only story I ever really heard was he was like a radio man, and they were like being attacked one day, and he like didn't have like really anything to like defend him. Like, you know, he was just kind of like, I don't know what to do. And he was so panicked that shit got fucked up that he got to go to like a different part of Europe and go to the hospital. Had to go to a different part. And he's like, and then when the nurse put the stethoscope on my chest, I was like, I think it hurts over here. I was like, this is the story you're telling me about war? You blew past something that happened where you were attacked and survived, and, yeah, to get to the point where a lady touched your chest in Sardinia or whatever?
My grandfather told me that, like, the first time he had sex was in World War II. They were like, in France. I mean, he landed days after D-Day, you know what I'm saying? And then like
I watched Band of Brothers. The second episode is all them just coming. They're all like, yeah, finally, yeah, we're 19, we can do this.
It's like 5 days later, it's just a bunch of Jewish men. My grandfather, they show up.
Hey, it's
go,
a great
what?
Way.
What, did we miss it?
What an interesting like sort of long fight against the Nazis to land a bunch of Jewish people in Europe to fucking propagate more Jews. Like, that's a smart move.
Long, I mean, that's a longer, it's definitely a sidebar, but yeah, totally.
maybe it's not for my episode at all.
I would go on and on about this, definitely, but I'll say this because I have an interesting, but anyway, my grandfather, yeah, the first time he had sex, he told me this, was he got like a truck and we're like, hey, we're going to go to like the he called it the whorehouse.
Right.
Okay?
Now it's called the sex workers' dormitory.
Yes. Yeah. And then that, in France, is it?
Hey,
crazy, right?
Good for Marty.
I mean, he was 18 years old, probably.
That's fucking crazy.
So it's like he's just a kid over there.
Then he came back and had like a deli, a house, a family, and like all that. And now we're all like, you know, never mind. I'm not going to say what I was just about to say. I was like, our soldiers are coming back, and never mind. Marching on the fucking Capitol or whatever.
My grandfather never slept. You would hear him, like, if I would go to his house to visit, you just hear him walking around all night. He had like such insomnia. And then like my family would be like, I don't know why he doesn't sleep. I'm like, guys, this guy, he was in World War II. My family don't understand PTSD at all. Anyway, I keep going. We could have used a nurse.
Thank you, our moms and your dad. It wasn't in my like teens. I realized I was watching a lot of nurse porn, and I had to like shift hard. I was really? Like, "Wait, this is weird. This is what my mom does for a living. Yeah. She doesn't dress like this. No one wears white stockings anymore. It's all scrubs. It's all fig scrubs, the jogger style."
Yeah.
Mighty. 2024 is here in full swing, and that means it's time for a New Year's resolution check-in with our friends at Manscaped. Boom! Newsflash. It's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep your bush tamed. Manscaped's new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're going for a trim or that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use promo code MIGHTY for 20% off and free shipping. The ball is dropped, but don't drop the ball on your balls, all right? It's got two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth where your heart desires. Now, there's only a couple of people in my life who know exactly where I go smooth and where I take a little off the top, and it ain't gonna be you, listeners. Sorry. It's like having a personal stylist at your fingertips or, you know, wherever you might need it. Did I mention it's waterproof? Because a trim in the shower is the easiest way to do it. It does make for the easiest cleanup. Hit it with the little handheld vacuum and then run the water to get the rest out of there. And for my men who want the full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. Grooming kit, lawnmower, ear and nose hair trimmer, and essential aftercare products with the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. Yeah, it's deodorant for your balls. Bet you didn't think you needed that, or at least you definitely thought you might need that. And as a gesture for the new year, they even threw in two free gifts, the Boxers 2.0 and the Shed 2.0 toiletry bag, because they know good and well you're still rocking your boxies from high school. Let's face it, resolutions might come and go, but a well-groomed you is here to stay. Thanks to Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MIGHTY at manscaped.com. Embrace a new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer, courtesy of Manscaped. That's manscaped.com/MIGHTY.
If you want to keep your information private, you got to try NordVPN. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and privacy online. VPNs create an encrypted tunnel for your data, protect your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allows you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto connect for zero click protection. Easily switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. They have 6,000 plus servers in 61 countries. Change your virtual location easily. This allows you to safely access your favorite streams and other content from home, no matter where you go. Nord has amazing speed as well. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. Plus, one NordVPN account can be used on 6 devices, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Mac OS, Linux, and even Android TV. Do yourself a favor and get an exclusive NordVPN deal at nordvpn.com/mighty. That's nordvpn.com/MIGHTY. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's nordvpn.com/mighty for an exclusive deal on NordVPN.
Hey,
But let's move on from this rant into a little segment I'm going to be doing on these potentially monthly live streams if you freaks like it over there. We're doing something called Consumption Junction. I frequently post about things I've been consuming on the platform I like to call X, and it's always been fun to throw out recommendations. For me, I enjoy digesting a shit and then spewing out like, you should try this because it was good or whatever. Recently, have you guys been watching, listening, eating, drinking, smoking, anything, consuming anything of any kind that you would want to recommend to me and by design the seven people watching this that because someone put the Twitch on in an old folks home?
I better
be doing that, by the way.
I was trying to think of something other than Baldur's Gate 3, which has been all consuming over the past couple of months.
You went through you're on a second play. Let's talk BG3.
I've done two full playthroughs of Baldur's Gate 3.
You're talking about like, that's like 40 to 50 hours of gameplay, if not more, right?
I have 350 hours in this game.
Wow.
Holy shit. I have so much, too, because I think
took
I have
over 100 hours.
You could have logged those flight hours, bro.
It's true. No, I was looking at that. Like, I think the Culinary Institute of America is 360 hours of instruction.
I'll tell you, LAPD is like 90 hours.
Yeah.
I never, during all the heated, like, ACAB shit and all that, my barber, who is, like, a 25-year-old, I think, like, pseudo, like, Republican or Libertarian, he was just like, you know, barber school's longer than the police academy? And I was like, what?
I buy that.
And totally I was like, that's fucking crazy, dude. Yeah. But BG3, I'm only just getting to Act 3, and I'm fucking loving it.
Yeah.
What did you change about your second playthrough? Did you go evil, or...
No, I was going to. I mainly the thing is I just played a different character. My first playthrough, I played a half-wood elf bard. The second playthrough, I played a tiefling paladin.
Ooh.
And so, you know, there's all this stuff with the tiefling refugees, especially in Act 1, but that continues throughout the whole game.
And you get,
so you
like
get a
different...
lot of tiefling-specific dialogue. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I thought about maybe going evil, but this ultimately I was like, I feel like this character would ally with the, you know, would sympathize with them. So it ended up being kind of like a good playthrough. The difference is I played as an Oath of Vengeance paladin, which is a specific paladin kit where you are dedicated not just to like being, you know, traditionally lawful good in the D&D sense, but like I will avenge the wronged. So there are instances where did you do the quest in Act 2 with He Who Was, I believe it was? There's this sort of mystical guy who's got a bird who's in the Shadow Curse Lands.
Non-binary now.
So he's got like a...
He was a he.
So he's got a thing.
He who's now they is what he goes
now
by.
They. Oh, yeah.
Just going to bulldoze past this. Yeah. So he...
You're framing Dan out of this, right? And his mic is still unplugged? All right, good.
Not offensive. That was not offensive.
No.
So he...
Chat's on fire.
So
was that offensive?
Shut the fuck up.
Greta Gerwig was robbed.
The quest is you have like there was a barkeep who he's standing over the corpse of this barkeep, this dead woman. He's like, there's this barkeep. She wronged these two guys. She ratted them out and they were killed. You go investigate it and you come back. And ultimately, it's a little bit more morally complicated than that. She kind of seemed in a situation where if she didn't rat these guys out, first off, she didn't know they were going to be executed. They end up being forced to fight to the death and they both are killed. But also she was trying to save herself and she was worried that she was going to be punished if she didn't do this. So there is a layer of like there was self-preservation and also she was kind of in the dark. But as an Oath of Vengeance paladin, you just have to be like, I just have to punish this woman because she wronged these people. And it was a really interesting way to play
it. So did you just cut this woman's head off or whatever?
It's funny because you just basically bring her back to life and tell her she's a bad person and she deserved to die. And it's just like, it's fucking crazy. And then you send her back to hell.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Back to hell with.
It was an amazing experience. I loved it more the second time, even though it's a little rough around the edges. It's just a game made just purely out of passion and just like the endless variability of an individual playthrough. It's so fun. And I also really got into the combat because I played it on Tactician, the hard difficulty, the second time, and I was like, oh, this is really, really clicking for me.
Oh, dude, yeah. That sounds so stressful because the battles I keep getting fucking creamed in.
Okay, so you were talking about looking up strategies. Do you know, this is a thing I've talked about some people and they don't even necessarily know this feature, and I know playing on a console it's maybe a little bit more hidden. Do you know you can examine any enemy and find out like basically all of their stats?
No.
Oh my God. It's an absolute game changer for combat. And I don't know.
Because then you learn like they're weak against acid or whatever.
And they just say that. It's not like in a lot of RPGs, that stuff is hidden. It's discovered through the gameplay. But you just, that information just presented forthright, I guess, just because it's D&D rules.
Right. Because if you were a D&D player at a tabletop, you would know that's.
This guy's immune to acid and, you know, vulnerable to necrotic or whatever it is. And so you go through and you're just like, oh, this guy is going to take double damage from radiant, or this guy is not going to take any damage from an edged weapon, but a blunt weapon I can fuck him up with. So, like, just knowing things like that gives you so much of an edge in combat.
Oh, that's going to help me a lot.
I think does anyone in the chat know that it's... know what the combination is, like what the controller combination is to examine someone? Is
it's it like probably a, like probably you hover because I'm playing on PlayStation 5.
Yeah, it's I feel like it's like a trigger plus the triangle or something like that. It's on the D-pad. Okay,
Thank you.
It is, just look it up. Look up how to examine something on console. That'll be huge for combat. Yeah.
Well, Baldur's Gate 3 is Nick's recommendation.
I'm sold, by the way. Like, I don't play.
Unbelievable.
I know people
game.
Are into
it's
it, but
so
no,
good.
I love your passion for it. You're describing all the stuff I like.
Yeah.
It's very, it's truly, you can do whatever you want in the game. It's pretty crazy. It's crazy how many options you get in every social interaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? More so than any other game. It's like, and then there's specifics that only your, like, because I play a ranger, and, like, I keep getting, like, ranger parentheses.
Oh, that shit is so cool.
That's so fun.
There's so many. You get Oath of Vengeance specific dialogue. And this thing, like, I'm in a deep, like, Act 3 side quest. I said this on Get Played. And there's an Oath of Vengeance line with a specific, like, recorded VO from the enemy in response to it. And I'm like, they went to that level of granularity to say, like, this one subclass of 12 possible classes has its own dialogue for one specific quest that you can completely miss.
I love it. Like, the ranger dialogue is always something like, backing up nature like, well, I'll find him for you. I'll be able to hunt him down or whatever. Because I play a wood elf ranger who's giant. Like,
he's
a big size. So his name is Branch Bender, which is a guy I tabletopped as for a while, like a fat elf.
Because he's
great.
Yeah. Because when he stands in the tree.
Yeah. It's going to be.
But as a big fan of Magic the Gathering, I think you might
like it
like the imagery, and also once you're in the battle, it is very strategy based. And it's like, and it's very, I have a fucking blast.
Yes.
And you could play it as passively or as intensely as you want, really. Cool. You can just choose to always just throw fireballs or whatever if you really want to.
But it kind of has that Magic the Gathering. I mean, this is just like any magic system, but like, you know, kind of that rock, paper, scissors element of what's vulnerable to what. And, you know.
And like, oh, let me make sure I drop
protection from.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, this sword is not going to be effective.
I hadn't played Magic
poison.
In like 15 years, and then I went to Gen Con last year and bought a couple of Commander decks.
Yeah, I mostly play Commander.
Yeah, is that what most people play now overall?
It's the most popular format.
Wow.
Actually, that's a weird... I mean, if we're going into Magic...
Well, whatever you want to talk about, but let's talk Magic.
Well, I had a different topic, but
let's talk
mean,
Magic, and then we'll get to your topic, too. And then we'll finally get to the subject of the entire episode,
absolutely.
Man bags, okay?
Well, Magic Gathering will tie into my man bag thing I have.
Okay,
but...
so start with your Consumption Junction, then we'll get into Magic the Gathering.
Okay, cool. Well, my Consumption Junction, right now, what I'm consuming is the Larry Sanders Show.
Wow. Oh, hell yeah.
So
hey
I have seen it. Hey now. So I saw it already. I've seen it already, but I'm watching it like this is probably 12 years later.
Yeah.
And I have such a deeper appreciation for this show.
Having worked in Hollywood at all, like activates it in a new way. Bro, the show holds up now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is so funny, so interesting also, because the format of the show, for people who don't know, I mean, it's a scripted sitcom, right? But it exists in the real world. Right.
Right. So everyone, people are playing themselves. Hollywood people are playing themselves while they make the Gary Shandling Show.
Yes.
Which is the talk show hosted by
The Larry Sanders Show.
The Larry Sanders Show.
It's Gary Shandling. And I remember as a kid, this show was on. Like, my dad would be watching it. And I always thought Gary Shandling was Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't understand that element of it, that he's playing this character. So I was like, oh, that's Larry Sanders. But no, it's Gary Shandling playing this character, Larry Sanders, who's just a completely like neurotic, self-obsessed, self-conscious talk show host.
But you end up rooting
late
for
night.
Him the
yeah,
whole
yeah, yeah.
time.
But
and
he's
Hank,
like,
you root for Hank the most.
Right. I'm in love with Artie, the Rip Torn character.
Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Absolutely incredible. But the show is so separate from all that. Like, Bill Clinton is the president. You know what I mean? So when he's doing, it's a late night talk show, like, you know, like Letterman. But it exists literally like Letterman makes a cameo. So literally in this world, this is just another, and they have a fake network. They say it like one time. It's like AGS or something, right? And they have a fake network that he's on. And literally this is a competing talk show with like Letterman and Leno and all right. them. And it's in the 90s. And they have all the actors come on as guests. They play themselves. So like Jennifer Aniston comes on and it's just like such a,
Duchovny plays like a real like sleazy freak on his episode, who? Right? David Duchovny's on
Duchovny,
one.
Like, and they have these running gags. Like Duchovny, there's like running gags, but Duchovny keeps coming back. Like, and they're always like, oh, how many times can we have Duchovny?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so
you
many
see, it's like you see how we got to Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah,
from that, right? Like, this is like the Rosetta Stone that like unlocks, because people love, if you love Curb or right. like Curb at all, this is, you know, the spiritual grandfather, and you know, it's like an ancestor of the show.
Yeah.
But what I like about, like, Curb drives
it's
me crazy.
It's very grounded.
It's very, yes.
That's what I love about it.
It feels real, and you get, like, caught up in the stakes of the show succeeding
yeah.
somehow. It, like, works on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they lose me, some of the episodes lose me because they become less serialized. I mean, it's not a serialized show, but, you know, it is, like, a sitcom, but, like, sometimes you do feel like you're seeing, like, a full week of programming, so that makes you feel like, you know, that like there's a story
right,
to
right.
the whole thing, you know? And sometimes it's just like a wacky premise where you're like, oh, it's like, he, like, you know, Hank lost his confidence or whatever that
is. And Hank
is, you know?
Is Jeffrey Tambor.
Yes.
Jeffrey Tambor, Rip Torn, and Gary Shandling are like the three main guys.
Yeah, right? It's like Janine Garofalo, yeah. young Jeremy Piven's in the first like one and a half seasons.
Right. Apatow was a writer on like
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. Apatow is a writer.
It's got
Steve
like
Levitan it's his show. You know,
it's
he's
got
still
prestige,
producing shows.
Man.
Yeah,
the show's good.
It's amazing. One, I'm always watching it, being like, could it's a weird experience because you're watching it. I'm like, could I see him competing? Could he actually compete with like Letterman?
Right.
You're like, would he be a believer? That's my question, you guys. Would Shandling, Larry Sanders' character, do you think when he's doing his monologue, because every episode, basically, he does the monologue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he is a great stand-up. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so funny, but it is that dry, like.
I think if he came about now,
yeah.
that if the Larry Sanders yeah, show yeah. existed now, people would love it. I think if it came out when he made that show, like in the 90s,
yeah.
it's too non-traditional of a late night
right,
show.
Because right,
like, his
right.
vibe is not. Like, he's in more in the Letterman camp than any other camp, in
yes.
that he's kind of like a little bit of a wise ass and a sarcastic and like kind of slightly.
And he's like not high energy. But the funny thing is that he like doesn't, the whole time he doesn't want to do the show, yet he's so obsessed with the show. Like, there's small, it's like the things that I appreciate are very small.
Yes, right.
Like, he has a thing where his ex-wife comes back. She's gone for like two seasons. He has a new love relationship. Every season, he has like a new wife. You know what I mean? He's unlucky in love that way, but he's too self-obsessed to like keep anything going. But his wife comes back. She's the first time he's seeing her for like years. And the first thing he goes like, hey, so good to see you. Did you see the show? Like, he's always just obsessed with what does someone think of the show?
It's so real.
It's
just
so
exactly.
Real.
But yeah, I like, you have I to get it. Over that. Like, you know, like, no one is listening to my podcast. No one is watching the show
yeah.
I'm doing. And
yeah.
when someone does, you just have to be like so honored. Like, but asking people now if you watch, like, there's just so much shit in like in our friend groups. Imagine if like you went up to someone's like, did you download the live stream of last week's Last Improv Show? Like, could,
oh, yeah.
like, no, imagine like expecting your friends
right.
to watch your shit. Like,
yeah, I have really close people to me in my life, very close people who, when they go like trying to catch up, like, hey, what's going on? They can't even say the title of my show to me. They can't even go like, how's the show you're doing?
Dude, it's embarrassing. Yeah, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Someone's like, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to listen to your podcast, right?
Right?
Called something like, and I'm like, High and Mighty. They're like, yeah, I've been meaning. I'm like, yeah, we have 500 episodes now. So like, like, you know, start wherever. Like,
yeah, like Larry Sanders, that character would go insane in this time period.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because no one would care.
Oh, yeah, and he would be replaced in a
yeah.
heartbeat.
And he has that arty character, Rip Torn, just blowing smoke up his ass the whole time.
You're doing
time.
Great.
You're a great show.
We're going to have a great show tonight.
He's yeah, yeah, yeah.
super confident.
It's amazing.
Wait,
right.
Now let's segue to Commander and Command Bags.
Yes.
So talk to me a little bit about Commander, because I had a lot of fun playing it, and we were playing D&D decks, I believe, because it was like We had like, I had like Drizzt Do'Urden as a commander card. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, okay. So we, a little backstory. So I played when I was a kid, my dad's brother's 20 years younger than him. So I had like a, he was a complete like accident. They didn't think they could get pregnant anymore. My dad, this is my same grandfather who probably was thinking of his German girlfriend while having sex with my grandmother.
You probably have like a really old German uncle.
He would always say, he would always be like, there's probably little Martys walking around Europe.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
That didn't get a woof. But he would always say that. And I probably do have relatives there on the other side of my family. That did happen. I did find more relatives, but whatever. So right as Magic came out, he was 20 years younger than my dad, like my cool uncle.
What does it make him, like 10 years older than you, tops?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's
so
awesome.
My guidance counselor in high school would always be like, how's your brother? And he was my uncle. I think we had the same guidance counselor.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, that's awesome.
Crazy. So he was like really cool. And he started playing Magic when it came out. So he like built me a deck. When he RSVP'd for my bar mitzvah, he mailed like the card back in the mail, and he didn't write his name. He wrote yes, like I'm coming, and put an expensive ass Magic card in there.
Hell so yes.
I've always
forget double high. I want the Black Lotus.
Exactly. So I had all of the real nerds out there, all of my dual lands that I have are from my childhood collection.
Wow. Oh, hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think we all know what dual lands are here, unfortunately. We're talking like Marsh. Right? Is that green and blue?
Bayou. Bayou's green black.
Oh, no,
those
are
the four I had because I had a green black deck and you could only have four in there.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So I had those. And so, but the thing is, I was kind of cool in school, and it's douchey to say,
I know.
But you know, so I had no one to play with until I showed up to UCB, and then I met a guy, John Timothy.
Dude, okay? I can attest to this. I was doing Del Close Marathon.
Yeah.
I walked into a hotel, maybe the lobby of the Yotel or whatever.
Yeah, and Dan
and like six guys from UCB, six people from UCB were all playing Magic the Gathering, and I had known Dan already, but I did not know about this facet of and. J. Tim comes across as a little dorkier than you do, but still no one was talking about it. And this is also in the mid-aughts when Magic had cooled off a bunch. And at least maybe I was in my mid-20s, that's why it cooled off. But like seeing a bunch of people playing it, I was like, holy shit, it never went away. Yeah,
it did kind of cool off because the format that was most popular was called Standard, and like the cards would rotate out. But they were running into this issue where they rotate out so that it was like a new meta. Every couple months, right? So, like, but what happened was they started over a long time printing all these cards. And then some cards that were really cool started being like kind of bad because they'd print something that was better.
Right.
And then most of that was dragons.
It's power creep. It's a common phenomenon with this sort of, like, it's like any sort of online game these days like has it, but particularly with collectible card games, it's like because they want to sell new cards, and the way you sell new cards is they have to be better than the existing cards you already have. Yeah,
it's kind of unavoidable,
right?
But so this small group of people, like this play group, created this format called Elder Dragon Highlander EDH, where they were like, okay, you take a legendary creature. Now legendary creatures at the time were not really getting a lot of play because they were normally like too high of casting costs, but they were really strong. So you're like, that'll be your commander, okay? And then you have to build with around that card. It's essentially in the command zone, which means it's just like always in your hand.
Right.
You know, you can cast it from there. And when it dies, it costs two extra colorless mana to cast that. So then this format like really piqued everyone's interest because they're like, all my cards are viable now. So then now it's called an eternal format. Nothing rotates out.
Right.
And bigger stuff is playable. And that just it spiraled so much that now it's the most popular format. Now Hasbro is printing cards specifically for the format.
Wow.
They rebranded it Commander. It's not called EDH anymore. But those guys who still started it.
But it helps also shrink down like the deck a little bit too, where you're like now like it doesn't matter. Like you don't have to be chasing. Like you're not going to get beat by someone who just really bought a shit ton of booster packs.
Yeah, how big are decks? Are they like
100 cards and it's a singleton. Singleton format, except for you could repeat basic lands or some cards that say like
you may have more than one of us.
Like specifically, and the people find this cool is that like in the Lord of the Rings set, You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were like, okay, you can have 9 Nazguls in your deck. You know what I'm saying?
That's cool.
You know what I mean? Ring rates. Shit like that, right? Awesome. When they do crossovers. You know
that's
what I mean?
Awesome.
And that's another thing they're doing. They're doing Universes Beyond. And in 2025, the Marvel set's coming out, which is going to be like, people are going to go insane.
Bro, I was a diehard customizable card game kid. I played all of them. The big ones, the ones that stuck the most were Magic, Star Wars CCG, and Marvel Overpower. But I also played X-Files, Lunch Money. I played all of those card games. I was spending.
Yeah, I played Overpower also.
I was spending exclusive, like all of my lifeguarding money on fucking cards at one point in my life.
Yeah, I was only.
That's part of why I got to do this budgeting, by the way.
Our parents had houses because they didn't play Magic the fucking Gathering.
It's dangerous. Now that I'm in a single adult.
Right, right.
And he's like, oh, I can just drive to the shop and buy cards.
And no one goes, what would you just spend all this money on? Like, there's no shared budget or anything.
I interrupt you, but the last thing I'll say, I'm sorry.
No,
he's
please.
I have a dealer. I have a guy who's like a dealer of rare cards.
Wow.
And I'll text him. I go to like his house. It's like an undisclosed location. You go in there. He's got literally a desk, like a jeweler's loop to check if the cards are real.
Oh, wow.
So like if I like book a big job or something, I'm like, yo, bro, I'm coming over.
Yeah, let me do a little shopping.
Shopping.
Like, you're going to like uncut cards.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of buying a Furby necklace, you're buying an Atog.
Yeah, well, like you might take, Atogs are cheap, but.
I'm just throwing out specifics.
Your ignorance is showing, but.
they eat artifacts, if I remember correctly, right?
They do. That is correct. You some people would text like their wife, be like, baby, we're going out tonight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to my Magic dealer to just look at the, I don't know, look at a card.
I played the Forgotten Realms Commander, and that was just a great combination.
Cool.
Yeah, they did Forgotten Realms and then Baldur's Gate. Yeah. Yeah.
I only was ever into MTG among the physical games, but that was like when I was like a teenager, and then like I totally fallen off. I'm intrigued by Disney Lorcana when I've seen anything about that. I was like, oh, that looks like something to do. You're shaking your head.
Don't say that around the Magic folks.
Oh, they're elitist about it.
You're about to get hosed, but you're gonna catch a wolf. You know what I'm saying?
Wolf from Casey.
You're gonna catch a wolf.
But I did get
that's actually like a rib of
that's crazy.
The other day, like at the table, they're like, all right, bro, I died early and it's a multiplayer game. So it's like I'm out there like, yeah, bro, you can go play at the other table. There's some Lorcana happening.
What is Lorcana? It's like a Disney.
It's like a Disney theme. I actually don't know it at all. Actually, one guy I know said it's actually a pretty solid game. So, yeah.
I was out of cards right when Pokemon started popping off. I was like, Pokemon was just too young for me.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're all in the same demographic where just like, yeah, people started playing Pokemon just like a few years after, you know, when it would have happened for us. But like, it sounds like, if Disney Lorcana players are being bullied by Magic the Gathering players, I might actually fit in great with the Lorcana crowd. So.
Yeah, and the Lorcana people could only roast a cappella kids. That was the old joke, was the hierarchy was like, improvisers are at the bottom of the barrel. The only people below improvisers are puppeteers and a cappella groups.
Yeah. Again, I will always fight against that. I think improvisers are fucking rock stars.
Oh, here we go.
UCB was
check out the last improv show live stream, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But let's talk man bags with the remaining time we have here. We are guys who use man bags. Weiger actually texted me. He's like, if you ever want to do a podcast about High and Mighty episode about man bags, I'd love to have you on. And Zach Reno as well, but he's out of town.
Yes.
And I know DB was one of the earliest adopters of the fanny pack in my friend group. So I
love that.
So getting the opportunity to talk about man bags, which is something that has, no hyperbole, changed my life.
100%. Well, and also, I weirdly have a segue from CCGs into this kind of, which is that I am very, very easily persuaded to the point where, like, so like you just telling me about Commander makes me want to just go buy a Commander.
Yeah.
Like,
well, now you can buy a Baldur's Gate Commander.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'll do that tonight. Sure.
Yeah.
So I believe it was our buddy Eric Appel who told me about the old Star Wars card trader app.
Yeah.
Do you remember
that?
So, like, I found out about that and I was like, I'm getting it. Like, immediately got it, immediately start spending money on it. Like right, like that, like, that same hour, I'm like buying, like, fucking Greedo in the Star Wars card trader app. And the same thing with man bags, which is that I saw Zach Reno wearing one, and I was like, oh, I like your bag. And he's like, yeah, man, changed my life. I was like, I'm getting one. And like, I ordered one that night, and I've been wearing one ever since.
Hell
and
fucking,
same thing, completely life altering.
Yeah. And it started for me in that I always, you have to carry like at least nowadays, you have to carry your wallet, your keys, and your phone.
Yes.
And that's three things. And phones are fucking giant.
Yes.
You have to carry an iPad mini in your pocket, keys, your car keys, and now they're all fobs too, so they're like extra. And I started to notice I like to wear shorts, and I like to wear shorts that don't have a hard waist. Like elastic waist shorts.
Right.
And then my drawers were always falling down.
100%.
And then I got into weed. And getting into weed means when you go out, you're like, I got to put a bowl and some grass or some pre-rolls and a lighter. And next thing you know, you got that like little kid look where your pockets are all bulged out like you're wearing fucking jompers, like you're fucking invading Zulu Africa or something, like as like a weird British colonist. And it was driving me fucking crazy. Then I got in the pandemic. I was just like, you can wear a fanny pack in the pandemic. No one can roast you for this. And because fanny packs, if you are our age, which we were the, like, I remember my dad had one.
They were punchlines.
Like, and they were absolute punchlines. Yeah. And then I got one, and taking all that shit out of my pockets was so insanely freeing. And then the idea that I could put edibles in there, I could bring an extra thing. Like, I could have, like, oh, yeah, I could put my phone charger in my fucking fanny pack. Because New York City turned me into a backpack guy. Living in New York City and having, like, 75 jobs, you have to, like, put your laptop, a change of clothes, the sketch props.
You can have your passport, bro.
There you go.
Dude, you can carry your fucking passport. Yeah. In case you have to leave the country on the fly.
You never know, bro.
Mentioning non-binary
characters.
Buy a fanny
pack and go back.
All that's in here is cash, a passport, and a pistol. You're like the homeland go bag. But when I I got spoiled by always having a backpack and be like, well, but that's kind of almost too much to have in modern times.
Yes, yes.
In New York, it was very common in our 20s to be like, one of the booths in McManus had like 12 backpacks underneath it because everyone had all of their possessions, their work clothes, their whatever underneath. And that's changed a little. And then here's for me my favorite, more my current favorite part of being a fanny pack person or a man bag person is getting my phone out of my pocket.
100%.
Dude, and I this is another thing, this will be a rant next month about phones, but like, just being able to go to someone's house and put my bag down and not feel the impulse to check my phone or feel the buzzes in my pocket, like that has been a huge help for me. It's just getting distance from my phone. I first discovered it at the gym when I had to bring a backpack to the gym and I was like, oh, with my headphones on, I could still hear it, but I don't have to look at my phone in between sets. And that moved on to like, I go to a party, I put my bag down and I am free with no phone. I'm not looking at it while I'm waiting in line at the bathroom at a bar or anything like that. It feels fucking amazing. And I can bring cannabis with me everywhere, which I know is embarrassing for a 42-year-old man to be talking about. But for me, bringing my medication with me everywhere is ideal.
No, that is a huge thing. I mean, like, because you're talking about phones. I feel like paired with phones is another thing you have to carry, which is headphones of some kind.
Right, yeah.
And so, like, that was another bit of bulk that's going into...
Absolutely, bro. You can go with the ones with the noise cancellation.
Wow.
Wait, you're two different AirPods? Wait, honestly, you do need a budget.
Bro, you got pros? Pros and twos, bro. And that's just the
front pocket. This is one of the richest things I've ever seen, is having two different sets of AirPods.
This is fucking wealth, bitch. I got four Bayous, pros, and Apple twos, baby.
Feels like a tone-deaf, like Chrissy Teigen Instagram. Like, yeah. We've got sets of AirPods.
That's fucking awesome. That's, I know I have my AirPods in here somewhere, too.
Well, I mean, like...
This is like... I went from...
That's a beautiful one.
This is a guy named Tone Customs on Instagram. Takes like old like military stuff and adds all this like jazzy shit. This was a gift from Adam Pally. He wore it on the show we were on. I'm like, dude, that bag's cool. He's like, here, take it. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting level of success.
Right.
I actually stupidly forgot to bring the one I wanted to show you. I have my tactical fanny pack, which is very similar to that.
Yeah.
Except, so you're talking about having weed, right? So my weed is water. Right?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Because I mean,
I love having
water. We're from the same place, but look at the difference.
I love having water on me too.
Yeah. But I like having my hands free.
Same.
Like, it's one of my great passions. One of my passions.
How much do you hate umbrellas?
What?
How much do you hate umbrellas?
I'd rather be wet. I'm a honcho, bro.
I'm ready to be fucking wet. Wet me down, daddy. I'm not holding a fucking umbrella.
I mean, I do. I will be honest. I hate being wet. Okay. I hate being wet. But an umbrella, I'm never going to have an umbrella.
Water is your weed, but you hate being wet.
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm never going to. Well, yeah. I like to drink water.
Keep it inside.
But so I have a thing like it fits exactly my water bottle. You know, in the fanny pack. It has a water bottle holder, and that's a separate. I should have brought it, but it's separate, so I could put that on the back if I need to. I could slide that all around.
I was debating something like that, because I almost clipped. This is too heavy, but I almost clipped this onto this.
Yeah.
Just to be able to bring my water with me, but this is, like, entirely too heavy.
So
yeah.
You can get a thing, and sometimes those will come off, so if you don't want it, like, if you're not rocking it at the time.
Right, you can add, like add extra ammo packs or, like, a water a pouch or whatever. Yeah.
I mean, look, the thing with me about bags in general is I am a big fan of practicality. Like, I need it. It's
100%.
And anything, and this is as I get a little older, but also as I just don't give a fuck at all. I never, I can't, when I'm doing something that is for the look, but it's fucking up like my whole systems. It irks me.
Dude,
I'm a little I'm not OCD, but a little bit.
Two things that hit me are shoes.
Yes,
like I'm like these are not cool shoes, but I want to be able to walk 2 miles to the coffee shop.
For sure, right.
Wear the thing that's not going to fuck up my lower back.
Yes,
and then you look kind of like a fucking tourist with like your giant fucking shoes on or your sneakers on. But I'm. You saying this back in the day, like 10 years ago, a mutual friend, Anthony Atamanik, he started wearing like exclusively like sweat wicking shit and like all that. Like, and he was just like, I don't give a fuck what you look like anymore. I just want to be comfortable. And I'm like, you're crazy. And I am so that person.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Prioritize comfort. You mentioned we're talking a lot about practicality, which is a huge element. And to me, that's the big reason for bags. But the other thing that I have discovered, and this is a thing that I feel like as, you know, like, you always feel late to the party with this kind of revelation, I feel like, on the man side of things, because this is obviously a thing that a lot of people use handbags have done for years, but like that it can be something that's stylish. And so I brought all of my handbags.
Oh, hell yeah.
And like this one, this one I'm wearing now, which is kind of like this, you know, this
slim profile.
Yeah,
kinda
yeah.
Like,
this is kind of like my everyday carry. But I have a few that have different functionality or that just like look differently for, different wardrobes.
Outfit.
Yeah. So for instance, so I've got one that's like a little bit louder here, this Cotopaxi.
Oh, hell yeah.
And this one
gorgeous.
Is like also a little bit smaller. And by the way, both of your guys' bags are wonderful looking. Just lovely. Bags.
You got a Herschel.
This is a Herschel. This is actually just a standard.
Yeah.
The size of this is very good, why I come back to it, but I'm a little over this, to be honest.
So this one's like really colorful and bold, and if I'm wearing something pretty plain like I'm wearing today intentionally, like, you know, that can maybe fit with that. It's also a little bit smaller, so it's great for travel. I've also got, like, this is more of a big boy, and this one is actually from our friends at Kinship Goods.
Shout out Kinship Goods.
Merch.biz
or something.
Love the
like
Action
that.
Boys merch. Nice. But like this one is like also just like a little bit bigger. So I have to carry like my inhaler or like my eczema cream or something. Like, you know, I can fit medication in here, some chapstick.
Yeah.
That's really
people
handy.
Watching the stream, we've talked about Magic the Gathering, Baldur's Gate 3, eczema, inhalers, how like it's impossible to get your blender to be fixed now. We're just like old dorks complaining.
Yeah,
it's so fucking
I love
funny.
It. Being old rocks. This is one with just like a little bit of a print, which I
like.
Ooh,
I like
you know?
This one.
And this one's also very functional. This is basically the same kind as the blue one I was showing earlier.
I'm watching an element of your OCD that you keep putting the wallet and cell phone into each
well,
bag.
Well, it's got to have something in it.
Or else it looks a little unstructured.
Yeah, it looks a little droopy. And then this one is actually the first one I ever got, and I had to get it repaired, and I don't wear it anymore because... I took it to one of those super old guys who has a shoe repair place, and he was lovely, but he was like, I could not fix the strap, so I replaced the strap. So as you can see, it has this like strap that it came with, and then he put this little leather strap here, which does not match it.
Right?
I just can't wear this anymore. I guess I could situationally, but it looks a little asynchronous. Yeah. But anyway, this was the first one I ever got, and this one is actually, I wore it so much I wore the strap out. But this one's very functional, has kind of a different texture to it.
Yeah.
And then...
Having two slight separate pockets, too, is like
huge.
A dream.
Yeah.
This is my pretty much everyday usage fanny pack is this Rowing Blazers Fila jaunt.
Yeah,
right here.
I think it's interesting because within the context of us being into practicality and bags, Where I differ from Weiger is I wouldn't ever think to be like, I need a different color. It's like going with the outfit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like me, it's pure. I'm purely like a functional. It's like just.
You wear a lot of black.
I just wear a lot of black.
It's like, your family lineage. But you're
stylish. Like that's like a stylish, stylish shirt. Well, no,
this shirt
cool
is
jeans.
Triple H. This is a Triple H wrestling shirt.
Oh, right. You bought it to like help raise money for Vince McMahon's defense, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wait, what is this giant heavy man bag you brought with you over?
Okay, well,
is this your MTG man bag?
Yeah, so but by the way, I really like your collection. I'm just saying my brain wouldn't even think like that. I probably should be like,
that's
ooh.
That's part of the fun of it. It's just like I can have a little pop of color. I can have a little accent to my wardrobe.
My wife has four bags that all have the same LV pattern on them. She has four Louis Vuitton bags that in different sizes. So I think we can get very. This is your like.
I'll show you
quiver.
This bag quickly. Just
I love
before,
that.
If we run out of time, but I call this a quiver.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If that's.
See, I like even knew you called it a quiver. I said, "Oh, your quiver."
I bought the. I've called it quiver. I have to you before. It's. I got it in Japan.
Ooh. Where they're revolutionizing man bags over there. By the way.
I don't know what they're doing over there, but I bought it there.
I had no idea what was going on over there.
I didn't know. No one talked to me. but this bag, I'll wear it. I wear it like this in the front, and it's got, like, I can literally fit my water bottle in there if I need it. It's got another, like, compartment if I need to just put, like, wallets, whatever. It's got, here, like, this. And if I need, you know, all six of my headphones. Whatever.
Well, that's funny you say, because that's, I have this like camelback backpack. It's like that small. It looks cartoonish on my back because of my size, but that is the perfect size to also carry a water bottle or like one thing purchased at a store.
Yeah.
So like that's my, because I like to walk to the movies, which are pretty far from my house. So that's, I'll bring that bag.
Yeah.
And twice I've gotten my bag searched at New Beverly. Like they search your bag at every movie theater, but I got my bag searched at New Beverly and two separate times the guy goes, it's a really tiny backpack, man. And I'm like, I don't want to bring a fucking huge backpack with me because I got to sit down with it. But I also want to, like, I'm going to the movies after this. This is what's currently in my little...
Madam Web?
My little tone. I'm going to see Tenet in 70mm. I got some dried mango and macadamia nuts because I'm trying to eat healthiest snacks. I got a beef stick because I'm a fucking human Labrador.
Yeah.
Got some I got some fucking joints in my... I got a vape. I got some edibles in here too, and I got some.
I like that bag a lot.
Some Lost
it's a
Farms
great bag.
Oh, let me. I will tag this guy on Instagram when this episode drops. But Tone Customs is his name on Instagram. He does all different. He like takes tote bags and fucking jazzes them up with like, whatever this is called, paratrooper fucking rope or whatever. It's a great. It's the perfect size, and it's got enough compartments. But like. It's still like inconspicuous enough. Like,
right.
And I just have like this cool strap on my body, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with like fanny packs specifically, and all man bags, but this fanny pack mostly, this is like my home base for my wallet, my keys, all the stuff. I probably wouldn't lose them, but I would waste time like. If I got to get to something and I'm like, all right, where's that one item? Now I'll have like, I used to have like three places for my wallet or something, right? I put it down. So I got to go to all three of those places to be like, where is that? Now it all lives in one place. And the other thing is that like, I mean, I'm a guy who just doesn't give a fuck. Like whatever. If I'm not like, if someone's gonna be like, oh, you're wearing fanny pack, like, it rolls right off me. I couldn't imagine being self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
But like,
I think you're talking to two guys who are pretty comfortable with whatever
you're
awful
like me
choices
as well.
They made for themselves.
But I have had like, you know, I mean, maybe I like date someone or something and they're like, yeah, don't wear the fanny pack. And I'm like, I would never say to you, don't wear your purse. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure,
and
yeah.
To me, it's like, this is my central hub for my shit.
And
so
I started
telling
calling
me
this my
to put
purse.
My stuff not under a zipper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're putting my ID in danger. You know what I'm saying?
Someone could steal my identity because you won't let me bring my fanny pack to this restaurant.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm sorry I'm yelling, but I'm saying the expectation of men
I'm
to
sorry
not
I'm yelling.
Put their
is a good
shit
idea
under a zipper is fucked
good,
up.
Tell them.
If you ever want to launch a podcast, I think I'm sorry I'm yelling should be the
thing. I'm sorry I'm yelling. Like, but, you know what I mean? Like, so you're supposed to look cool, so that means your stuff has to be in a, you can get pickpocketed.
Yeah.
Like,
also, like, I I could barely fit into my clothes as is. Now I got to like jam a fucking wallet in there as well. And my wallet is filled with fucking
cash. Well,
the
wrestlers back in the day, like all the juice heads, you know, they would always, their quads were too fucking big.
Right.
So they'd always have a fanny pack.
The Zubaz pants and the fanny pack was such a body. I think that's part of what I like about it. The other day I wore a crew neck sweatshirt with sweatpants, different colors, and a fanny pack. And I straight up looked like I was going to Gold's Gym in 1979. Yeah. And I loved it.
Being a company man, I have my head gum pack, fanny pack, which I got a little bit ago. And Dan, I'm curious, do you always wear yours like a fanny pack, like around the waist?
Okay, so I mean, 99% of the time, yes, because it's kind of like, it's here, everything's easily accessible. I'm not doing this for fashion.
Right.
You know, I'm doing this because
it's not unaccessible as like as a crossbody.
Yeah, I will do that as well, but if I'm going to be doing that, I might move to the quiver.
Right. You got to upgrade to the quiver.
That makes sense. Yeah.
The quiver is a great size where if you're wearing an extra layer like in a sweatshirt, like a long sleeve shirt, it'll go in there as well.
Right, if you get warm. Like now, Weiger, this is the kind of bag I want to go for next.
This is what I was going to say. And so this is my last one, and this one is kind of similar to the quiver but maybe a little bit scaled down, but this one is very much a dedicated shoulder bag.
Yeah.
And I like how it hangs. It's very comfortable. Yeah, and
the Game Boy bag.
Yes,
100%. But like, you know, I can fit my Kindle in
here.
Two
Game Boys in there.
I had an Apple in here earlier. If you need like a water bottle, you can fit that in here. Yeah, it's a good size.
I like that. Kinship. I like that a lot. Oh,
the one other thing, I did go shopping at one point. I didn't pull the trigger on it, but I went to Tumi, which is a very expensive bag store.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I had a gift certificate, so I was like, all right, that's what got me in there. And they had one thing. It's a like, you know, crossbody. Just basically like passport size, you know what I mean? It's just wallet, like right there. Just like key. It's only gonna fit a couple things: your keys, glasses, just the essentials.
That's all you need.
Right there.
I'm ready to fucking buy like the Chewbacca bandolier that has
right.
It's like this is my wallet, my keys, my cell phone, my headphones, my weed. Like
this is bandolier, but not like want one that goes like all the items. Or
yeah, exactly. And then maybe I have like a pen stuck in it, like a shotgun shell or something like that.
I love that. Did you want me to show you this bag?
Yeah, please. Is that your Magic the Gathering bag?
This is my
bag?
Magic the Gathering bag. So like, okay.
This is a great dovetail.
So another thing that I struggle with in terms of like practicality is like, okay, I have a backpack, right? But if I like put my decks in like a backpack, it's not designed for it.
Right.
So like it irks me, and also it's like, you know, the cards can fall. Like that stuff I don't like either. I like things designed for specific purpose. Like if you got a laptop, I like a laptop bag or a bag that has a laptop
sleeve. Yeah.
Right, 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 right.
I can do a whole nother episode about backpacks because that's like a fucking big thing. Action Boys talk about bags so much. Rogers tried to get some, he like hired a design, like a textile designer to be like, Rogers a great artist. He like sketched out a bag and was like, can you make this bag? And the guy's like, this is like out of my bounds. Rogers had all these ideas for it. Like he was trying to design the ultimate bag. I was like, this is a fucking conversation. Oops, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Ooh, well, I'll give you a quick preview. This is by the company Pirate Lab, who does not, I'm not a sponsor, but it's a messenger bag.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
Right? Like, has this strap. So you wear it like that.
Ooh.
So if I'm going to play, I got this on. You know what I'm saying? And then here, it lays flat on the table, right? And then I don't know if this is playing the camera correctly, but I would like unzip it here. It's got hidden zippers too, folks.
Ooh.
And then there, boom.
Look at that.
Laid out.
Wow.
Decks laid out. And look, play mat.
Oh my goodness.
Shit, dude.
Play mat right here. You know, and then like
that's
in
cool
here,
as hell.
Got my dice bag.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, you're about to get invited over to my house to like, let's play Commander at my house.
I mean, dude, you would love it. And you could use, I have decks for you.
I'm assuming you have enough to share.
You can't, don't fucking touch this shit.
I'm like, all of a sudden, your little brother. You're not allowed to play with this one.
Well, the cool thing is those decks that you bought like right out of the box, they made them so good. Like they're strong enough to like have a good game just right out of the box.
I will buy another Commander deck before you come over and we'll play against it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like that's too, like if there's a specific bag for carrying something, like I have a guitar, you know, that's just a guitar case, but I have one where I'm like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about the pockets. It's fun.
Yeah,
it is fun, and it's fun to plan out your day or you know, and I know you think less about the fashion side of it, but for me that's part of the fun is like planning out your outfit too.
Right. Yeah.
And I will also say, like, as a you know, a man of some girth, there are ways that you can there are ways that you can arrange the bag that kind of like, you know, accentuate yourself physically. Like sometimes I'll find like the strap just like kind of fits between my titties really nicely.
Yeah.
Or like,
well, if you are, like, again, people our age.
Yeah.
When in like ninth grade, when the girls started wearing the shoulder strap bags and adding to like their cleavage, it was like a game. When everyone had those Kate Spade bags, I was like, that shit blew my fucking mind.
Right.
That was one of the best advancements in female fashion until 2023 when everyone started hating bras.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the new best thing now. If I could just be a classic hetero for a second, the admonishment of bras is amazing. I love knowing my barista has her nipples pierced. It is a great addition to my life.
We're gloss over the 2010s yoga pants innovation. That's something.
The yoga pants was great. Yeah, the yoga pants was a good one. I'm more of a T than an A guy, so I'm always thinking upper deck. But
really?
The fuck, yeah, I know.
Way
I know
more A for me.
Yeah, me too.
You guys are A's?
Yeah, I think
more
so.
A. But you, I thought you'd be an A man, but you know.
No,
I guess...
mean, I'm not going to fucking throw an A out of bed if you ask me. I'm a fan of it all. Don't even get me started on the V.
I'll be honest.
Vaginas.
I'm a huge V guy.
I'm
big
a huge
V guy.
I'm
a big V guy right here.
Big fan.
Big V guy. I like it all, you know.
And also, I will say there, like as a guy with a bit of a gut, with like wearing it like yours, like a fanny pack, that can also be a thing with certain outfits. It can kind of like accentuate that and cover that in a nice way. Yeah, it's kind of as a cummerbund effect.
It's so funny for me. Like I can wear a fanny pack, and everyone's like, "Oh, is that does that look tacky?" And I go, I can only see it with mirrors. Like, I can't. I look down, I can only see my gut. I guess there's a fanny pack on. Like, you see me frequently, like, oh, let me get my wallet. Yeah. It's like digging around in there. It feels good.
Yeah, he hasn't seen his fanny pack in years.
Yeah. Brother, I need a series of mirrors just to see my hog.
Oh, my God. Before we run out of time, I don't know where we're out of time, but
we're coming close. But this is what we need to get it in.
Because I feel like this is the escalation here. I've just purchased, you guys might be like way ahead of this, but I just purchased my first pair of Crocs.
Oh, ooh, nice.
Where are you guys at on the Crocs? We got a woo, not a wolf. Where are you at on
Crocs? I'm not a Crocs guy, but I'm a fucking like cloth slides guy. I have a lot of like hippie shoes that have no heels or anything like that.
I think if you bought a pair of Crocs, I bought them. I was hesitant for a while, but then I was like, it goes against my whole like aura, my moral compass, everything that I don't own the most practical shoe out there.
Right.
It's full rubber. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you could wash it with Windex. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like fucking so
like
easy.
It adds up for everything, right? So
I might have to get on some Crocs.
They're amazing.
I really like, this is new old man shit for me too. I really like shoes with like nothing on the bottom. I like zero drop. I like no padding whatsoever. It helps with my back pain. It helps with everything for me.
I mean, I work out in total flat shoes.
I work out in Vivo barefoots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
I got a little.
That's even more hard. That's hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, I work out in Vivo barefoots, and I wear like the Vibram bottom New Balance Minimus when I walk.
Toes?
Now.
Individual
Not the
toesies? Toesies.
I don't toesies? Have the toesies. I have those as water shoes for when I, you know, like need them.
When you need,
when I need my reef shoes.
Well, yeah, when you need to fucking toe a rock. You know what I mean?
There's a midpoint for the Crocs, which I have, which is like a Crocs flip-flop. And I actually wear those all the time. They're so comfy. I have a Crocs, a pair I wore just for walking around.
Is it thong or slide?
They're like thongs, yeah.
Okay.
And then I also have a pair that I wear shower shoes at the gym, and they're both like great. And they're both like, they're you know, sometimes the flip-flops can have no tread. It'd be really slippery. These are like very great.
I wear Adidas slides as shower shoes still like 25 years later,
I don't fuck with thong sandals. Like, I can't even do it.
Oh, yeah. I do, but only for fashion, but not for like, you know,
I'm like trying to grip onto the thing for dear life. It's escaping me. Always.
It's not good for your gait.
Wear
flip flops. It's not good for your, you know, your how you take steps.
Yeah, I'm not going for a long walk with them or anything
right.
But for like wearing around, taking another.
Oh, I wear them all the time. Yeah, yeah. I love them. I love flip flops. That's why I then never got into Crocs because like flip flops are
very
manageable.
Dude, the Croc. Here's the thing about the Croc. Okay, that I didn't really know. People are not saying this out loud. The system of you, all right. Do you know the hinge thing on the back? The hinge,
the strap.
Yeah. The seatbelt. Yeah. The Achilles. It's an Achilles seatbelt. That thing is designed incredible. It's incredible design because you could step right in and it immediately knows it locks
up itself.
It kind of does, right? It kind of like locks. It locks into place.
Right.
So it's
I guess
the
I gotta
perfect
just take
slide.
Your word for
it's
it,
the
yeah.
perfect. perfect step-in design. Almost like when you step into a ski.
Yeah, you snap in like ski boots.
And you're like, fuck, yes!
I'm ready to cook.
That click sound gets me horny.
Let's go. Let's be honest. I'm a T guy. Now I'm a C guy. Clicking.
You like the click?
I love the click.
Dude, I love the click.
I found the click.
I couldn't find it. I didn't even know where the click was.
For years, I had no idea where the click was.
For a long time, I was like, I was close.
A real Peloton heads out there are understanding the click.
Yeah. My ski would pretend that I was clicked in.
Yeah, you're good. Thank you. All right, we can wrap this up now. Speaking of wrap this up now, we're coming down a home stretch for the we're done with the first and potentially last ever live High and Mighty stream. Hopefully we'll be doing this the last Tuesday of every month. And this will be an episode if you in the chat. I saw some people in the chat saying, oh, no, am I becoming a bag boy? And that's exactly what I want to hear. Like, I'm so happy to hear that people will become bag boys.
Yes. I would definitely try to convert anyone to being if you don't currently have a bag, get yourself a bag, because I'm just like I found it transformative. At least get a cheap one. And try it out and see what it's like.
If you take medication, if you're diabetic and need to have insulin and your test strips on you, if you have like anything else that you need, you want to carry pot, you want to carry sunglasses, you're a glasses person, but you also have separate sunglasses or something like that. Like
every generation of Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Whatever, whatever you need to carry.
Yeah. A snack. Yeah. Yes. Have a little fucking snack in there. Save yourself some money from these fucking money hungry corporations.
No, don't get me started again. I always have Advil on me. Allergy pills. Yeah. Like, who knows?
I always have GHB in a dropper. So cover your drinks around me, ladies.
I know we're done, but you'll appreciate this. Like Celsius packets.
Oh, hell
So it's like, I could turn my water into a Red Bull, like right
away. There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
I probably have an Element packet somewhere in here.
Yeah.
Oh, look, this also is how long I've had this bag. I got a mask in here. I got dog poop bag for when I'm walking the dog.
Yes.
Or when shit hits the fan for me. Oh, I found more edibles.
I found. You ever pick up your own
here's
shit
a vape
in a dog
cart
bag?
From the High and Mighty vape.
Well, the thing is, like, once you go fanny pack, you never go back.
Chapstick is a classic fanny pack thing in there. Lost chews.
I got
lost
some Farms Purell gummies. Or whatever this kind is.
Oh, yeah. I had, like, antibacterial hand spray for a while. Now that COVID's done and no one's sick ever again, I don't have to worry about that.
Can I tell my call center story real quick? One quick one. At my job at the end of the day, there was like kind of like a debriefing meeting where the team lead would sit down with everyone all the grunts who had to sit on the phones all day and just sort of like go through everyone. It was mostly a way for people to decompress and unload and, you know, say what had happened. So he's going around, he goes to everybody, and it's like the way these things work. He goes to a person and asks what happened to them. So they're like, oh, Gabrus, how about you? Casey, Anya, Emma, Dan. Goes to me, he's like, how about you, cocksucker? And I go, and I'm like, what? And then
he's
another...
like, we have cameras in the bathroom.
And another guy goes, oh, no, that was me. Another guy had been called a cocksucker like a mad mom.
So he was making like a joke
exactly.
reference.
Exactly. But I was like, just to me, my boss was just calling me a cocksucker out of nowhere. I was like, what the fuck?
That reminds me of when I first signed with an agency. The agents came to a show of mine and I hugged one of them and I said, I'm sorry for your loss. He's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, didn't your dad just die? He's like, no, the guy from like the other agent. I was like, sorry for your loss. I turned like, sorry for your loss.
Oh, man.
Fucking it all up. Before we get out of here, it's a podcast. We know what the currency is here. Let's hear some plugs, fam. What do you got, DB?
Check out Last Improv Show.
Live in the LA area, it's twice a month at the Dynasty Typewriter. It's a fucking, I'm doing it pretty frequently.
Gabrus is on the show.
I love it. It's always a fucking good time.
Yeah. And you could stream the show. That's the thing.
You don't have to live in LA to watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. DynastyTypewriter.com, I imagine, is where you get that.
Yeah, all right. Well, you nail that down as you go forward in the career. My friends, they don't even know the name of my improv show.
That's
where
right.
can you watch it? I have no clue.
Our show is also in the Netflix is a Joke festival.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's May 6th. And I think that you could stream that episode as well. That episode.
Awesome. Yeah, stream it all.
Follow me on Instagram at Dan Black Attack.
Hell yeah. Weiger, do you have two HeadGum podcasts you'd like to plug by any chance?
Played a video game podcast. We talked extensively about Baldur's Gate 3. We did a 3-hour episode about that, so you can hear us talk about that.
Maybe I have that episode queued up, and I only didn't listen to it today because I was going to hang out with you, and I was like, I don't need to be immediate feedback guy. Let me finish Ed Zwick's book, then I'll come back to
right,
that.
Right, right. Yeah. Stick that out. Check out Doughboys. And hey, we're talking live streams and podcast. Gabrus will be joining our Munch Madness finale next month, which will be both a live show and a live stream. So look for that in late March.
Spoilies. Your boy will be there. As for me, I've got another podcast called Action Boys. We've got a few free episodes at free.actionboys.biz. Get yourself hooked on a fucking with the Lawnmower Man episode. It's 4 hours long. I mean, it's worth your money, but not necessarily what you want to be doing with all your free time. And also, check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die. Still on Max, ideally, because this is live. I know it's still on Max. When this airs on Thursday as a podcast episode, it might not be on Max anymore. Zaslav might have been like, I figured out a way to get 9-figure bonus, and it's just to cut these 4 shows that people love. So, yeah. Speak of fucking Zaslav is the fucking slumlord of Hollywood, bro. And unless, of course, you want to do a second season, Zaz, then I'm with you. Fuck Coyote versus Acme. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come.
Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Do it now!